Lessons on Intercessory Prayer, Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 to 33. This chapter begins with a blessing, and it comes with an ominous prediction of God's judgment coming upon two cities, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was a privileged man to have God so nigh to him that God came and visited him, and as it were, he partook a meal with God. The book of James calls him a friend of God in James chapter 2. How in the Old Testament there was just that one occasion when the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord, in our King James Bible, is given as the capital L-O-R-D, coming to meet with the people of God. It's the only instance when God draws so nigh to his people. The only instance when God would meet with his people in such an intimate way. Well, it was a privilege for Abraham because he was a man of God. He was a man who walked with God, and he has proven himself to be a man of God. And the Lord himself in this text would testify of his godliness. How blessed it is for a man to walk so nigh unto God and God to show him what he was about to do, his plan. Why did God do that? Well, our text begins in verse 16. When the three men, rose up after the meal and looked towards Sodom, Abraham was with them. He walked them after he has extended great hospitality towards the divine visitors that came to him. He walked together with them. Our text tells us Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord, our text tells us in verse 17, says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Who is Abraham? Why is he so privileged a person that God has to tell him what he was about to do concerning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, for one thing, it would affect Abraham because he was given by God through promise to be an heir to the land that was there. And God is going to do something catastrophic to the place. And also, perhaps because of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and the family of Abraham, who were there sojourning in the city of Sodom. So there are two thoughts for our consideration: the matter at hand, and the matter in God's hand. What was the matter at hand. God was about to judge the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember in Genesis chapter 14, when God sent Abraham to rescue the city of Sodom from the great kings that came and took the entire city with Lot and the family captive. Remember? With just about 300 of his servants, the Lord enabled them by a miracle to overcome the international coalition of army to rescue the city of Sodom. That was chapter 14. Did anything change from then? Nothing changed. Our text tells us that the people there continue in their wickedness, and the people there continue in their debauchery. Verse 20 of our text tells us, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous," the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. Why is the city crying? Because of the wickedness that is taking place in that city. There was much oppression. There was much evil that was going on. And those that are suppressed, oppressed, they are crying out to God. And God is hearing the cries in heaven of all the evil that was taking place there in the city of Sodom. Their sin is very grievous. And so you realize that we worship a God that is very much aware of what is going on earth. And if there be evil, the God of heaven, who is the God of all justice, is fully aware of the incursions, the oppressions, the evil, the transgression against his laws that is going on, the plundering that is going on around us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. As we catch a glimpse of the evil that was going on, Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. To help us to have a background why God judges and what is evil. What is the Lord saying about the cry that is going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, it says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world that are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even their eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were mindful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools, and verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When men depart from God, the living God, the true God, they begin in the perversion of their mind to worship idols made with their own hands. And that perversion is wax worse and worse. So verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The two men, later on you would see, would be sent into Sodom. And there in the city, the men of the city would come after them, seeking to have a relationship, a physical relationship with them. Today we know this as the LGBTQ. The perversion of men having relationship with men and women having relationship with women. The Bible says this is abomination to God. And we thank the Lord that in the constitution of this nation, there is a law that prohibits such relationships. How is that so? Because the law of Singapore comes from the Indian law, and Indian law comes from Roman law, and Roman law comes from God's law. Underlying it, the book of Leviticus, that tells us that the family unit consists of a man and a woman. Not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. This was the issue that was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was great perversion, but there was great gain to be made. Do we want to make great gain at the expense of our souls? Well, I think the people of God have to make a choice and understand the danger that is to their souls if you would choose to do business, you would choose to walk with men and women who do not love God and who underlying worships the evil one. It's very frightening. But for the people of God, God protects His people. That is why Abraham was given that knowledge of the judgment to come. Why did God give to Abraham that knowledge? Verse 19 of our text. You will look there. Genesis 18, verse 19. God says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they should keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has promised." Why was Abraham special? Because God says that I know who he is. He is a righteous man. God made a covenant with him and his seed and his household. Remember, they were just being circumcised. They were set apart to be the people of God, set apart from all the uncleanness. And that the family may bring blessings to the people around them. Matthew Henry says, well, he says, "Those that expect family blessings must be conscious of family duty." In other words, if you want to walk with God, then you must do your duty to be true to the faith, to walk with God, and to teach your family after the things of God. And here, verse 19 says that they should keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. If our children is to be the Lord's, then they are to be brought up in the ways of God. They are to be trained up for the work of God. And so there is no hypocrisy here. It is simply that Abraham was someone who wholly followed the Lord. And that is why the Lord revealed to him the judgment. God did not reveal to Lot. God did not say to Lot, "Lot, I'm going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah." What would Lot respond? "Lord, don't judge, because I've got much gain. There's still much gain to be gotten from it." Not yet. Not yet. But God said to Abraham, because God knew that this would be a man who would do justice and judgment. In other words, this is a man who would be serious and devout in the worship of God, and that he would be honest in his dealings with men. So this man, Abraham, would teach his children and family to walk in the ways of God's blessing, to do justice and judgment, to live in obedience to God's laws, and to counsel others to do likewise, setting an example. Well, the Lord tells us that indeed there is a reason why God revealed to Abraham. He was concerned for the souls that were there in that city. And it's no accident why God would take him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and to give him a mission. To bring forth a holy nation out of his loins. And it's no reason why you are who you are as the people of God assembled here, as a church of Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham, to be like Abraham, to be a witness for Abraham or for God, like Abraham, in our generation. God reveals to us his plan in his word. And God wants us to know, and you see what is in the heart of this man when God revealed to him concerning the judgment to come. Verse 21. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. So God is a God of justice. He will not act irresponsibly. Right? He is like a judge, a just judge, unless all the evidence are there. So you remember he sent the two other angels to go into Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the reason? Well, to see, does God not know? Is he not omniscient to know? Of course he knows. Of course he knows. But he will send his witnesses in order that when the judgment comes, the conscience of the hearts of the people who are judged cannot fault God. God is very fair, very just, and he gives time. He's long-suffering. And the Lord said, verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So Abraham was there before the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, and the two angels went forth into Sodom. And here the Lord said to Abraham, and Abraham asked this question. Verse 23. Would thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Would thou also destroy the righteous and the wicked? He's saying, God, you are a holy and just God. Would you not distinguish between your own people, whom you have justified, and the wicked? Abraham was appealing to the justice of God, that if there indeed will be righteous men in that city, will you spare that city from destruction? So he understood God has given him the truth concerning what he is about to do. And God revealed to this man, and this man, you would see, would stand for the city, on behalf of the city, before God, to plead that God may spare the many lives that were there in that city. And so from verse 23 onwards, you would see Abraham's prayer. It was a prayer for the sparing of Sodom from destruction, that God might be gracious for the sake of the righteous among them. Abraham was not only praying for the righteous, but he was also praying for those who were the wicked ones in the city. God, will you spare them? Will you spare them? And the people of God have that great privilege of interceding for the souls of men and women. You know, we have such great privilege as a people of God. God has given us the power through Christ, authority. He says to the church, the things that you bind here on earth would be bound in heaven. Things that you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. In other words, you are given great authority of God to do the purpose of God. You remember the Great Commission when the Lord says before his ascension, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, the authority of God with us, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you all the way, always, even unto the end of the world. The power of God, the authority of God given to us for the souls of men and women that is going headlong into destruction. You have that privilege to stand in between, to pray for them. And Jesus Christ is our example. Our memory text tells us, our memory verse tells us, wherefore, Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How did Abraham come to that stage in his life whereby he was in the center of the will of God, doing the will of God for his life? Well, his life was given over and surrendered to God. He was spiritually prosperous, walking close to God, not only able to help himself, but help his family and those within his sphere of influence. You turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. To help us to see why Abraham was a man whom God will answer his prayer. Psalm 1 in verse 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He did not go into Sodom. He stayed far away. He would not be involved in the gain of this world. He understood the strings that are attached, that it will be fatal. It will be for their souls. And so he separated himself. And here we see God knew whom he has to do his work. He was a man who is separated unto God. He walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, his mind is fortified with the truth of the Word of God, cannot be infiltrated. Hold firm to the truth of God's Word. He was someone who hold fast. He was someone who would choose to walk with God. But what is the other category? You see in Psalm 1 verse 4 to 6, which speaks about the people in Sodom whom God is about to judge. The ungodly are not so, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So dear friends, make no mistake that God is fully aware how we are living our lives. If one foot is here and one foot is in the world, right, you find that very soon you would topple over. The Lord wants us to be fully, wholly consecrate to walk with Him, the narrow way, the way of safety. Sometimes we think, you know, that a little bit, never mind, a little bit of compromise is okay. A little bit is all right. And you realize that it can be for our lives. And so here, you see that this was a man who walked with God, who followed God, and you would see that indeed, God hears the prayer of such a man, right? From verse 24 all the way to 33. He would plead with God six times. God, if there be 50 righteous men, may thou be merciful to save the city. And God said, yes. If there be 50 inside that city, I would save that city. Then he think again. He says, God, perhaps there's not 50. If there's 45, then he think again. And he says, God, if there is but 40. You see, when Abraham was pleading with God, what was his approach to God? Verse 27 of our text tells us. How did he approach God? Behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He realized that he is but dust and ashes. In other words, he realized that he is in no position to negotiate with God. He's in no position to make a deal with God, as it were. So he's just pleading. But because he was a righteous man, God hears his prayer. And so he says, if there be 40, if there be 30, be 20, there be 10. If there be but 10 in that city, would you spare the city? God says, yes, if there be 10 in that city, I would spare the city. Abraham would have thought that since Lord has stayed there for some time, he would have at least maybe, you know, start an outreach in Sodom and begin to give tracts to the people around there. And those who are willing, invite them to the house, share with them the message. But you realize that that was not the case. Later on, in Genesis chapter 19, there was not even 10 who were righteous. You know what it's saying to us? What are you using your time? What are you doing with your time? Are you using your time to pursue the things of this world, which at the end of it will be loss, a great loss to you? Or are you using your time wisely to do something that would impact souls, the things that matters for eternity? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? Because a time will come when there is time no more. And it's too late. And you realize that, what have I been doing with all my time? What was to be the use of the precious time that we have, that God gives us? Well, Abraham knew what was happening. And he was pleading for God's mercy. God, if there be righteous men in that city, would you spare the city? Because judgment is going to come. Right? If you go to the Holy Land today, the place where Sodom and Gomorrah was once a thriving city, you realize that it is no longer there. It has been destroyed. God has destroyed. Why did God destroy it? Because it was ripe for judgment. And the world that we live in here also. Do not think that, you know, we have all the time of this world in our hands. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. But the Bible tells us that a time is coming where God would require an account from you concerning your soul and how you have lived your life. Turn with me to 2 Peter 2, verse 4 to 9. So you see, on the one hand, the man pleading with God, God, be merciful. That's what we are doing on Wednesday night prayer meeting. We have our special prayer list and we've been praying for events that has not taken place. But we know that if it will come, then it will be very sad for the world. And we plead for God to hear our cries. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. What did he say here? Making them an example unto those that should, that after should live ungodly. That God's judgment is real. And we say this also for our own city-state. That God's judgment is real. If you take for granted the good laws that God has placed in the constitution of this land, and that it will be repealed, then judgment will come. Let us be warned. And each one would have a responsibility before God. You will have a responsibility before God. When the judgment would come. So Abraham was pleading in verse 7 of our text. 2 Peter 2, 7 says, but delivered just Lot. In chapter 19 we will see how Lot was delivered, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, there was only one, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto judgment, unto the day of judgment to be punished. Abraham's concern was that Lot may be delivered, and he pleaded to God that if there be 50 righteous at first, and God agreed, and still he felt uneasy, and he pleaded further that God would not destroy Sodom for 45, for 40, for 30, for 20, for 10's sake. Do you plead before God before the things would happen? Do you pray and plead before God? Alas, we would see the city of Sodom was destroyed for lack of even 10 righteous men. The city was devoid of godliness, that judgment had to come. So what do we learn from this lesson here? Abraham was a man who interceded and prayed for others, but you also see the compassionate heart of Abraham. How he cultivated his own spiritual life. And God made his heart sensitive to the needs of those around him. It was a life-threatening situation for his nephew's family. And he did all he could to help Lot. And God wants us to learn the power of intercessory prayer. When we seek God in prayer, He hears and He hearkens to our cry. Turn with me to Psalm 4 as we conclude. Psalm 4. The psalmist says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But I know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Do you have that confidence that God will hear your prayer? "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, 'Who will show us any good?' Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." God satisfies the heart of his children when we seek him. He put gladness in our heart and grant us peace in our heart, and that we rest in safety before him, that we are able to sleep well. May the people of God realize that we are living in momentous times, that we would put our heart, soul, mind, and energy to the things of God, to the things that matter for eternity, to the souls that are around us. May God help us to see and understand the gravity and the lateness of the hour and the need of the people of God of the hour. We have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, 8 p.m. Invite you to come and pray. It's our 10th special prayer meeting because we are in momentous days and important things that we bring before God. I challenge you, urge you to set aside time on a Wednesday night to come and pray. God hears our prayer. Before it's too late, may God be merciful. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Strengthen us that thy people may understand the privilege that we have as intercessors, and not only for our own souls, but for the souls of the people around us, that indeed we have access to the very throne room of God, the command center of the universe, concerning the activation of the things happening on this earth. Oh God, I pray that thou would help us to see and understand the privilege and the duty that thou hast set before us as thy people, for a dying world, to a dying world, and for the people around us. Strengthen us by thy grace. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.